This year's Nobel Prize for Economics highlights the value of economic policy.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. News from Stockholm this hour that the Nobel Prize for Economics is going to two Americans, Thomas Sargent from NYU and Christopher Sims from Princeton. Per Krusell of Stockholm University made the announcement and says the pair won it for their work showing how policy affects the economy.
Thanks to their methods, we are now able to come much closer to an understanding of what caused what. We can learn how macroeconomic variables such as unemployment and inflation are influenced by policy.
Well, you don't have to look far to find real-world policymakers trying to fix real-world economies. French President Nicolas Sarkozy and German Chancellor Angela Merkel met this weekend to talk about possible solutions to the European banking crisis. And they say they'll come up with a plan to bolster banks by the end of the month. But it'll cost them, as Caitlin Carroll reports now from Berlin.
Since the crisis began, France and Germany have each been asserting their own agendas. For its part, France wants its banks to have easier access to bailout funds. Germany, on the other hand, wants banks to take more write-downs on the value of bad loans to countries like Greece. Fabian Zuleg is chief economist at the European Policy Center. He says Germany will probably have the last word because any bank rescue plan needs German money.
In the end, the big issue is always, does Germany support the whole package? Because without German support, it can't work.
Erwin Collier is an economics professor at the Freie Universität in Berlin. He says that even though this crisis has been simmering for months, Germany and France are acting as though they still have time.
My real fear is, you know, one might think the back is up against the wall, but there's still a lot of room between us and the back of the wall.
France and Germany plan to unveil a package of reforms before the G20 summit in about a month. In Berlin, I'm Caitlin Carroll for Marketplace.
Well, here in California, Governor Jerry Brown just made it easier for undocumented students to access public funds to go to college. He signed the second half of California's version of the DREAM Act, which is designed to help kids who were brought into this country illegally get educated. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler has more.
22-year-old Justino Mora is a student at UCLA. He's won academic scholarships in the past, but then donors find out he's undocumented.
They call me and they tell me, look, the fact that you are undocumented, you know, we can't give you the scholarship.
The new law gives students like him access to private scholarships and public grants. It could cost the state as much as $15 million. And Helica Salas is executive director of the Coalition for Humane Immigrant Rights Los Angeles. She says the law ensures that undocumented students are the last to receive public funding.
They are going to have to wait until the financial need is met for U.S. citizens and people with legal status.
Unlike the federal DREAM Act before Congress, California's version does not provide any pathway to citizenship. So even if students get financial help with college, it will still be illegal for them to work in this country when they graduate. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up in overseas trading this morning, about 1% higher in Tokyo and a little more than 1% right now in London. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow fell 20 points to close at 11,103.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. By CenturyLink, a new kind of broadband company linking Americans coast to coast with consistently fast speeds and personal service. More at CenturyLink.com. And by Constant Contact, combining email marketing and social media for more customers and more time back on the clock. Learn more at ConstantContact.com.
I don't know about you, but almost every time I go to the supermarket, I choose the self-checkout. I'm not sure if it's actually faster, but it's kind of fun, and self-checkout machines seem like the way of the future. Well, in fact, they may not be. Some supermarkets are already getting rid of them, as New England Public Radio's Ann Mostu reports.
The Big Y supermarket chain in Massachusetts and Connecticut installed self-checkout machines in 30 of its stores as a time and money-saving alternative to cashiers. problem was just 1 in 5 customers used them.
We started seeing the frustrations with customers, and then the line would get backed up.
Jeffrey Hamill is manager of a Big Y supermarket in Springfield, Massachusetts. He says customers who opt to use the self-checkout machines often have questions or problems that require a cashier's attention, basically negating their purpose. And there were the customers who just skipped the scan.
Theft was an issue. Unfortunately, you are going to have those dishonest people that were going through, and we were losing quite a bit of money in it. And the maintenance on the self-check was astronomical. We were constantly having someone come in, fix the computer chip, fix the belt. There's always an issue with the technology.
Self-checkouts caught on about 12 years ago and are still being installed in some chains. Joe Tarnowski, an editor at Progressive Grocer magazine, says about 70% of supermarket chains have tried them.
Self-checkout units cost at a minimum around $20,000 each, and that's just the basic cost of the equipment.
Big Y, like most stores, installed 4 per store. Now they're on their way out. It's the second chain in the country to pull its self-checkouts. The privately held Albertsons stores in the West and the South have removed them from all of their stores. On a recent afternoon at the Big Y in Springfield, customers are lined up in front of cashiers. The self-checkout lanes are deserted. Customer Linda Adams says she prefers buying her groceries from an actual person.
Because I think they're very courteous here, and they pack right, and I think they do a better job than me. So I'd rather wait in line 5 more minutes and get it done right.
Both Big Y and Albertsons promise to open up more checkout lanes with human cashiers. I'm Ann Mostu for Marketplace.
And finally, to the latest idea from Hollywood, a movie about the online game Farmville. The writers of Toy Story are reportedly working with the gaming company Zynga to put together a Farmville movie. If you're not familiar with the game, it's played on Facebook. It involves plowing land and harvesting crops. Not sure exactly how that's going to translate to the big screen, but I'm sure we'll all hear about it on Facebook. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Small towns aren't competing with cities anymore. Instead, they're partnering up. Give a little, get a little.
People today look at Des Moines as being an asset instead of being detrimental.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Small towns, big towns, they're making it work. That story and the day's business news next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.